giving a talk about assessing the risk of non-target effects involved with the soybean aphid classical biological control program. And first, I know we've already talked about the soybean aphid, but I briefly want to touch on it again. The soybean aphid is the number one insect pest of soybean production here in the United States. It is originally from Asia and was first found in the United States in 2000 in Wisconsin, and has since spread throughout much of the Midwest. The infestations cause yield losses. High numbers of aphids cause reduction in both pod size and seed size, or pod yield. Some of the current control options that are being done are various different sampling methods, as well as the formation of thresholds that are being used. The threshold now stands at 250 aphids per plant. And the most common control method for the soybean aphid is the use of foliar insecticide sprays. However, this is not the only option, because there's classical biological control which is being attempted. And as most of you know, the classical biological control is the introduction of a natural enemy to control a pest species. And there are several reasons why the soybean aphid is a very good candidate for this. And that's because in its native Asia, the aphids, along with a host of natural enemies that are present there, cause this insect to not be a pest. Unfortunately, when it comes to the United States, they don't have those natural enemies here. So when we look at the classical biological control program here that is being implemented, so far they've done the florin exploration, which was talked about a little bit earlier. Host specificity testing has been conducted, and open field releases have also occurred of Binadoxus communis, which you'll hear more about in the next talk. My project comes into play with the investigation of non-target effects that could potentially occur in this system. Non-target effects have become an increasing environmental concern in biological control. What these are any unintended predation or parasitism that occurs on an organism other than the targeted pest species. And just a reminder, this is on a population level effect. This is not individual natural enemies eating another species that is not soybean aphid, for example. And some of the concerns that arise with non-target effects are that they could possibly negatively affect rare species, or they could potentially become a pest species themselves, which is kind of what happened with Harmonia acciridis. In addition, the introduction of another natural enemy to a system could cause competition with native natural enemies that are already present. So what I want to touch on are the project objectives that I'm working on, and there are two. The first is that I'm conducting a survey of aphids, as well as their natural enemies, in Indiana. What we want to get out of this survey is to get an idea of the diversity of aphids present, their natural enemies, get an idea of the phenology involved both within a season and between seasons, as well as look at how these different aspects may fluctuate over a larger geographic range, because this project is also occurring in Iowa and in Wisconsin. The second objective is to use these survey results to assess the risk of non-target effects on native aphid species that are present. So these are aphids that are not soybean aphids, and they're not necessarily in soybean fields. So briefly, I want to talk about some of the materials and methods involved with this project. I have conducted this at 6 prairie or old field sites in Indiana, and it occurred in 2006 and 2007. And as you can see, it's mostly in the northern half of Indiana, and that's primarily because that's where the soybean production is occurring. Sampling was conducted every 2 weeks. We used a 3-transect sampling method. As you can see on the right-hand picture, I've got the three lines there. We used 25-meter long transects by 1 meter wide. We'd look at all the plants along those transects, collect any aphids that we found. We'd collect all predators and record any predators found. We collect host plants for identification, and then we bring the aphids back and we rear out any parasitoids that are present. So in the lab, we're also doing identification of aphids, predators, and any other natural enemies, as well as the host plants. So what I'd like to continue with here are some of the results that I found from this survey from 2006 and 2007. In total, I collected almost 1,700 aphid colonies. If we add up how many aphids that is, it's probably around 51,000 aphids that we have looked at. And since in the soybean aphid biological control program, they're primarily looking at a parasitoid to control the soybean aphid, I'm really interested in looking at the parasitized aphids that were present out in the system. So when I look at the number of colonies that were parasitized, you have somewhere around 16% and 13.8% in 2007. And another point that I want to make is that I list the different host genera, host plant genera, because aphids are extremely host specific. A lot of times when you have a single host genera, a host plant genera, the aphids that are found on there won't be found in many other types of plants. So what I'd like to look at here are the total numbers of aphids found in each of these years. And the axis, as you can see, is the total number of aphids collected over a season from June to September. And as you can see, there are some major fluctuations that are occurring within a season and between the 2 years. 2007 had some very, very high aphid numbers, which were not the same in 2006. But again, I really want to focus on the parasitized aphid numbers. And as you can see, again, there are some major fluctuations occurring within a season as well as between the different seasons. And again, in 2007, the highest aphid numbers were in July of this year, very similar to the total aphid numbers that we saw. One of the important parts that I want to look at were what aphids were associated with different host plants, because as I mentioned, aphids are very host-specific. As you can see, there are some major variations occurring. These are total number of parasitized aphids found on the specific host plants themselves. And there are some peaks that you may notice, such as the Acalea over on the left side, and then we have Silphium and Solidago way over on the right. And those are the sunflowers and goldenrod on the right. They have very, very high parasitized aphid numbers. But when we look at percent parasitism of overall aphids, we can see that the peaks don't necessarily occur just because they have a high number of aphids found on them. The Silphium and Solidago that was way over on the right, they don't have a very high percent parasitism rate. Instead, what we notice that there are some other host plants that do have a very high parasitism rate. And this is what's of interest, because a lot of times when we're talking about field of parasitism rates, usually around 10 to 15% is where you start seeing a population level effect. And so there are some host plants that have very high parasitism rates. And I wanted to take this a step further, and I took a few of those that were circled in the previous slide and looked at what aphids are on these host plants. And I took a look at yarrow and primrose and cattails, and you can see that there are quite a different few aphid genera that are found on them. And what I'd really like to point out is that if we were reminded here that the soybean aphid is Aphis glycinus, and what we also have on these host plants are aphids that are in that same aphid genera, Aphis. And a lot of times when we're thinking about non-target effects, there's a potential that when we're dealing with a very host-specific parasitoid, it is most likely that it could be going to aphids that are very closely related, such as the ones that I have underlined here. So in conclusion, when we're looking at host plants, what we saw is that aphid parasitism rates can vary greatly from year to year, as well as even within a year. And then when we're looking at risk of non-target effects, these risks may not be constant over time. As I showed with the fluctuations in total aphid numbers and parasitism rates, they can vary between years and within years. And finally, when we're looking at aphids, when you have low aphid numbers and you have an aphid with a very high parasitism rate, it's most likely that there's a greater risk of non-target effects that could occur on these aphids. So I would like to thank particularly my advisor, Dr. Bob O'Neill, who could not be here, my advisory committee, and the Purdue Department of Entomology for all of their help. And with that, I would be happy to take any questions that you may have. Thank you. The main parasitoid species, I haven't looked too much at it. I just got that information like a week or two ago, so unfortunately I can't really tell you. I know there are Lysis flevis in there and some of the other ones, but I can't tell you off the top of my head what they are.
Do you have any idea what may have caused that huge peak during July in 2007 and the number of aphids that you were getting?
I don't, actually. What I would like to do is pick apart the information a little more and see if there's some kind of correlation between the different sites. But there was nothing in particular that made me notice, even when we were collecting, that there would be such a high peak in the middle of the summer. I don't know where that came from. Yes? Yes. Like higher than what you'd expect? I honestly, I don't know. I know that there are soybean aphids around the sites where I'm sampling, but I don't think there's anything to say that they were higher than average or what anybody else is experiencing. Thank you.